Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming man who infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Welcome back to Between Pages and Friends, a book club podcast hosted by Con and Lauren, two besties who read a lot of books, and John and Kyle, our gamer-turned-reader husbands who've agreed to read with us. I'm Lauren.
I'm Kyle.
I'm John.
And I'm Con. Today we are very excited to be back in the Fae and Alchemy series by Callie Hart. In today's episode, we are covering everything you need to know about Quicksilver before the release of Book 2, Brimstone. If you haven't yet listened to our Quicksilver Book Club episodes, they are ready and waiting for you to help you get all the Carrion Swift content you need before the release of Brimstone on November 18th.
With that being said, this episode will include spoilers for the entire Quicksilver book and Kingfisher POV bonus chapters in extreme detail. You have been warned. Everything's on the table today, folks. This is your final spoiler warning if you have not yet finished the book or bonus chapters.
If you've enjoyed this season of the podcast as much as we have, we'd love for you to join us on Patreon. For just $5 a month, you can join our Book Bestie tier to hang out in our cozy Discord, hop into monthly book chats, and join a community of fellow readers. Or upgrade to our $10 Found Family tier for exclusive perks like merch discounts, early access to episodes, and behind-the-scenes goofing.
And we're thrilled to be hosting the VIP experience for A Sorcerer's Affair on April 25th in Kansas City at the Bergmont Winery, hosted by Bookish Lore Events. This is a magical bookish ball, and our VIP experience has very limited tickets, giving you the chance to hang out with us before the festivities begin. Tickets are on sale now, and you can use our code FRIENDS15 for $15 off your ticket. Don't miss your chance to join us in person. Check it out at bookishloreeventskc.com.
Lastly, if you're a friend of this pod, we would love for you to let the people know. Please consider taking a few minutes to leave a star rating and a quick review on Audible or Apple Podcasts. This is the best way to help our show reach more besties, and it's free. Plus, you get a little shout out from us that will live on the internet forever, like this one. Here's a recent 5-star review on Apple Podcasts from our new bestie, actually old bestie, Nutter Butter Smith, aka Raimi, from our Discord, titled Over the Moon for BPNF. I started following Between Pages and Friends when I stumbled upon Reels of John reacting to the ACOTAR series, classic, then joined their Patreon a few months after. I love being a part of this found family, and I'm excited to read along with them for this podcast series. I started listening when they read Quicksilver, as I had already read the series they covered prior, and loved it. I enjoy stopping to recap with them. It's super helpful to process what I've read and laugh alongside them in Discord. I cannot wait for When the Moon Hatched with you all. I played Podcast Chicken the other day to read the first 15 chapters to start strong. If you've gotten this far in the review, I commend you. Check out this podcast and this wonderful online book community. We commend you, Raimi, yes, for writing us this lovely review. Thank you.
Recommendations.
Love you so much.
So sweet. You're the best.
Chat with you in 5 minutes on Discord.
Yeah.
During this recording.
Yeah.
Be right back.
Well, normally I'm the one who handles our chapter recaps, but since we are tackling the entire book of Quicksilver this time, I figured it was only fair to bring in the rest of the crew to help me out. After the full book recap, we will zoom in a bit and talk about where we left off with each of the main characters, what they're dealing with, where they might be headed, and how everything connects. Then we'll wrap things up with a quick dive into the realms, the magic system, and the political landscape that keeps this world spinning. We've got a lot to cover in this episode, so let's get into it. Act 1, Zilvaren. We open Enzo Varn here, a parched, brutal desert city divided into wards and ruled by the immortal, undying Queen Madra. The world is built on scarcity, water is currency, and the people of the Third Ward live in constant fear of the Queen's guards and her iron-fisted control. Our main character, Saris Fane, a 24-year-old thief and a big sister surviving on scraps and stolen goods. No one knows about the strange powers that she possesses or the fact that she has been picking pockets and stealing from the Undying Queen's reservoirs for as long as she can remember. Beneath her hardened exterior, though, Saris hides a dangerous secret, an innate connection to metals and alchemy, something she barely understands and has kept hidden since childhood. It's a gift that could get her killed if discovered. One day, Saris makes a very bold choice and steals a golden gauntlet from a palace guard. Then everything falls apart. She's betrayed, captured, and cornered by the queen's forces and brought into the palace for a meeting with the queen herself. In her last desperate act, she reaches for a strange blade rumored to belong to the queen's alchemists. When her skin meets the metal, the quicksilver pool awakens and death shows up. Not just any death, but a hot, brooding, immortal death carrying a sword and a complicated past. Death scoops her up and takes her into the quicksilver pool.
Ooh. Act 2. Bless you. Evelia. Saris awakens in Evelia, a cold, wintry land shimmering with dangerous magic. She's greeted by Everlane, who hands her a full glass of water like it's nothing. She quickly learns that who she thought was death turns out to be a male named Kingfisher of the Ajin Gate, who's been gone for 110 years until now, and is Everlane's brother. He's fierce, silver-eyed, and immediately intrigued by this mortal woman who shouldn't have been able to cross realms at all. Saris wants to go home, but is told she pulled the Sword of Solace out of its resting place and awoke the Quicksilver Pool, which makes her a very big deal and now everyone's interested in you, including people who shouldn't be. Instead of helping her leave, Kingfisher starts training her on how to use the Quicksilver, a sentient alchemical metal that connects both realms, a sentient substance that drives those who seek to control it crazy if they're not careful. The Fae view it as both a power source and a curse, tied to ancient wars and old magic that most have long forgotten. One day while working with the Quicksilver, she adopts a super cute fox named Onyx. One day, Saris comes up with a super bad idea to steal Kingfisher's ring and try to get home all by herself. Of course, she gets caught and Kingfisher offers her a deal. Offers. He will go to Zilvarin and bring back one person for her as long as she agrees to do anything he asks of her. She makes the deal and Kingfisher goes into the Quicksilver Pool. Saris requests her brother Hayden to be brought back, only for Kingfisher to bring back the wrong person, instead bringing Carrion Swift, the flirtatious and most notorious smuggler in the city. The three leave the castle and head to the front lines of the war at Kalish. When they arrive, Saris learns there is a never-ending war between the Fae of Evelia and the vampires of Sanus Ross. She meets members of the Lupoprolia, an elite warrior unit led by Kingfisher, which includes Renfis, Loreth, and Danya.
Boo.
No. Tensions. Yay, Renfis.
I was booing Danby.
Oh, got it. Gotcha.
Tensions between Saris and Kingfisher come to an all-time high, and they spend a few nights together. She also learns that Kingfisher's quicksilver poisoning is getting worse and that they are fated mates. Fisher says he's going to reject the bond because he's dying and doesn't want to drag her down with him. One night at the war camp, they hear a scream across the river and find Everlane captured by the vampires. In an act of stupid bravery, Kingfisher goes alone to save his sister from the vampire king, Malcolm, at Gilthry.
This brings us to Act 3, The Labyrinth.
Bless you.
In a rescue attempt. Thank you. In a rescue attempt for not just Everlane, but now Kingfisher as well, Saris, Carrion, and Loreth head to Gilthry. This place is pure nightmare fuel, full of ruined buildings and an aura of you're definitely going to die here. They come face to face with not only King Malcolm of the Vampires, but also Queen Madra of Zilvarin and King Bellicon of Evelia, the three of whom are revealed to be siblings. The entire war, the endless bloodshed, and the political chaos has been a long, elaborate family argument over power and ego. Instead of sticking to the plan, Carrion, of course, decides to sacrifice himself and let Malcolm bite him, only for it to backfire because Carrion turns out to be ancient Fae royalty, Carrion Dianthus, and his blood is poisonous to vampires. Fisher takes this distraction as a moment to tell Saris to track a Quicksilver coin that is deep in the labyrinth, the same labyrinth Kingfisher was stuck in for 110 years searching for that very coin he could never find. The labyrinth is alive, the walls shift, illusions whisper, they're attacked by creatures that feel ripped from Saris's and Lauren's nightmares. Once they reach the middle, she quickly realizes the coin is not there, but instead inside the mouth of a super creepy spider demon. In the final confrontation with Malcolm, Saris is mortally wounded, but still manages to flip the Quicksilver coin and break the curse. The souls of Gilthry chant in victory as Malcolm turns back to Saris, only to find her repositioned right next to him, and Saris cuts off Malcolm's head. But Saris still dies from her own wounds, being pulled into the Quicksilver pool under the amphitheater, and wakes up in the realm of the gods. Greeted by Bal and Mithin, goddesses of the sun and moon, and daughters of Zareth, the god of chaos, they lead Saris to Zareth, where she learns her fate to Kingfisher runs even deeper than their mating bond. Their collective fate was also tied to every foreseeable timeline. In order to hide Saris from the gods so they can no longer intervene in keeping her from Kingfisher, Saris is reborn as something new, neither mortal nor fae.
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam. A charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
And that leads us to how we left things. Vampire Queen. Saris wakes up not only part fae and part vampire, but also queen of the vampires, since she is the person who killed the former king. Her new nature raises more questions than answers, but for right now, she's alive, she's in charge, and she has no clue what she's doing. That brings us to the end of book one. Now let's talk about where each major character stands by the end of Quicksilver.
Yes, we'll go where we left each character off at, what their status is, maybe a little bit of what they've gone through, starting with the one, the only, Saris Fane, currently half fae, half vampire, pointy ears, sharp canines, the whole bit. Unsure which traits she's adopted from each side, but the healers are sure she's no longer human. Faux show. Talladea still calls her an alchemist in chapter 45. She learns sunlight is painful, but Talladea says you'll be able to tolerate that better than most soon enough too. This will all just take some getting used to. She's just baby-stepping the vampire. Because Talladea is now Saris' sire, after biting her, he has the power to command her or block her memories. In chapter 45, we find out that he did place a memory block on what happened to Saris after she was bitten, because transitioning is hard or can be very traumatic. According to Zareth, Saris was supposed to be born fae, but he intervened and made her human to try and separate her and Kingfisher, even though in every possible timeline, they find their way back to each other. Collective law from the author. Thank you. She is still bound to Kingfisher, but hasn't told him about her interaction with the gods yet. In 2 days' time, she'll become the Queen of Senesroth. It's the very last line in the book. She's being coronated because, like Lauren said, she's the one who killed Malcolm, the previous and only King of Senesroth. Malcolm says, sounds like a speak and spell. Malcolm says, earth, air, fire, water, salt, brimstone, quicksilver. The full gamut. More power than any alchemist I've ever encountered. You're capable of restoring me to my power and a lot more besides. Chapter 43. So, homegirl has more power than we have seen and is one very interesting since it's the title of the book, Brimstone.
Yep. Next we have Kingfisher. Of course, bound to Saris by the end of the book, can still communicate in their minds as well.
Mates? Mates?
Mates? This is kind of proven here in the final chapter where he says, of all the things that had changed so dramatically in the past few days, the bond between us seemed to be the same as it had been before. Excuse me, that was Saris, I believe, that said that in her POV. And he finally comes to visit her after Taladeus, Loreth, and Carrion, and she notices that there is less Quicksilver in his eyes, and she asks him, you know, what happened? What's going on? He says, Talena found a way to dampen the Quicksilver's effects. I've been seeing her for months, but her sessions were going less and less effective. And then Ishabal said that she could help. Talena helped to quiet the Quicksilver, and Ishabal's teasing it out of me. It'll take a long time, but it's working, giving some hope there that he won't basically die from the Quicksilver, as they have, you know, previously discussed.
Or go mad.
Or go,
there's hope. My boy.
My boy.
Next, we have Loreth, who's got a really cool sword named Avizieth now that has the power of Angel's Breath, confirmed in chapter 29. Loreth was the second person to visit Saris after she woke up. He came in when Taladeus left, and he spent an hour with her updating her on the end of the battle and how Everlane and everyone else is doing. So he's been kind of around visiting everyone else and comes to update her. He was also singing songs to her while she was sleeping. It's very sweet. Love him so much. And you know who I love even more than Loreth? It is Carrion Dianthus. My first note under Carrion just says hot, because it's true. And now he's the same Carrion, but with sloped ears and pointed canines. And he's, quote, so tall. I love this.
Just a hot trait, just so tall.
Yeah, because he's Fae. He's super tall. And it is hot. So we find out that Carrion is, in fact, heir to the Fae Dianthus throne. He is the firstborn son to Rurik and Amelia Dianthus, who were killed by Malcolm. Kingfisher remembers Carrion's parents, but has not told him about them yet. And Kingfisher's father, Finrin, brought Carrion to Zul'varin as a baby. Finrin glamored Carrion's ears and canines, brought a bag of books for him to learn about his heritage, and a woman named Orlena Perry took him in and raised him as her own. The last name Swift that we meet him with was Orlena Perry's married name. So she took him in when her last name was Perry, then she got married and took the name Swift, and then he ended up keeping that name. Currently, Carrion Swift Dianthus is wearing a pig sticker and has a sword named Simon.
Facts.
Nice.
Facts.
I mean,
calcified
facts.
In my brain on that one forever.
And the literal pig stickers that we now have on our website, if you haven't been to betweenpagesandfriends.com yet.
You could look just like Carrion.
Yeah, just like him. All right, Taladeus turned Saris into a vampire to save her life. Hot.
Super hot.
He's now free from Malcolm's enthrall because Saris killed Malcolm, and he seems to be helping Saris and co when previously he was with Malcolm. So hopefully, I don't know. My feelings are in the air about this one. That leads us to the triumvirate, starting with Malcolm, R.I.P., maybe, because in chapter 42, we learn that Bellicon says, we are the triumvirate, three crowns sharing one source. To kill one of us, you must kill all of us, and that is no easy task. We also learn that when they are reunited, the three of them are more powerful than they have been in an age. He says he doesn't have a soul, and we know he is siblings to Madra and Bellicon.
Speak of the devils, Madra, the undying queen of Zul'varin, fled through the Quicksilver during the final battle as soon as the God Swords would channel again. And that's where we last left her. For Bellicon, he put up a prodigious fight, but the second Loreth's Angel Breath had torn out of Avizieth, he too had fled like a effing coward.
Coward.
So they both ran away. Yep.
And we have Everlane here. The last we heard of her, she was alive with Rin watching over her, but, quote, she had fallen into a deep sleep and couldn't be roused. Talena and Ishabal were confident that she would wake any day. That was in our final chapter of the book. Next, we have Danya, a.k.a. Danby. She got a brand new hand thanks to Talena. Not that she's thanked her for it. Fisher took Danya back to Irin because she messed everything up with the witches in chapter 36. Big surprise. This is the last time that her name is mentioned in the book.
She's also Carrion's future girlfriend.
No, she's not.
Possibly.
I reject your reality and substitute my own.
Yeah, it's a good possibility.
Let's move on to Ishabal and Taylena. So Ishabal and Taylena were both helping care for Everlane while she sleeps. They are teaming up to slowly remove the Quicksilver from Kingfisher's eye as well. And Ishabal is the granddaughter of the Balkitter High Witch, Melina.
Nice. Then we also have Renfis. We leave Renfis watching over Everlane while she sleeps. We learn more about his backstory in the bonus chapters. So if you haven't read the bonus chapters yet, we'll give you some more info on them at the end of the episode, but you 1000% should read them before Brimstone.
Agreed.
And Renfis also has a really sexy accent for all of my audiobook fans.
Shout out to Anthony Palmini.
All day, every day. And then Heron, he was Madra's right-hand man. Yeah. And yeah, RIP. Sarah snapped his neck in chapter 42.
It was awesome.
Bye-bye.
Thighs.
I will say, we thought he was kind of dead before. And now he's back again. Yeah. And then he was dead.
True.
Mm. So now he's dead. Yeah.
How many times? Yeah. How many times did you kill a vampire? Quicksilver in.
He's gonna come back. Person? He's gonna be like even more messed up.
Yeah, he's gonna be like a fetus.
He just
holding
keeps,
his neck.
He
like, just oh, yeah. Man.
It's like, whoo, she really did a number on me. Been trying to massage this thing out for weeks.
10,000 years. On to some of our homeboys from Zilvaren, Elroy and Hayden, still in Zilvaren. Saris still intends to find them, but we don't really know what they be up to. Sort of the same thing with Finrin. If he's alive, he's assumedly in Zilvaren. He studied the blood curse for decades, we learn, and also learned that he glamored Carrion and hid him in Zilvaren for a long, long time.
Yeah, next, another character of note, Kingfisher's mother. Deceased, though we do learn some interesting info from her indirectly in the bonus chapter. So again, you gotta go read those things. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, we're hoping that we will continue to learn more about her in Brimstone.
Yes.
The next one up is Onyx.
Where is he?
Where is he? So we see him in chapter 35 when he's at college with Saris. Then in 38... Carrion says that he was looking for Onyx, but no one ever follows up on that or mentions him again.
Why?
He is on, I know, he is on some editions of Brimstone, so we're assuming that he's fine, but we would love an update. We would love some on-page confirmation that our little baby boy Onyx is just okay. He's just living his best life and he's just running around in the snow.
Fox, he's so sweet. I hope he's okay.
Get ready for Malice, a twisted new drama starring Jack Whitehall, David Duchovny, and Carice Van Houten. Jack Whitehall plays Adam, a charming Manny infiltrates the wealthy Tanner family with a hidden motive to destroy them. This edge-of-your-seat revenge thriller unravels a deliciously dark mystery in a world full of wealth, secrets, and betrayal. Malice will constantly keep you on your toes. Why is Adam after the Tanner family? What lengths will he go to? One thing's for sure, the past never stays buried, so keep your enemies close. Watch all episodes of Malice on November 14th, only on Prime Video.
Lastly, I'm going to give you a little rundown of the gods, most of which have not been mentioned since the first chapter section of Quicksilver. But
rundown. Jim, when are you going to have that rundown? Sorry, The Office. Hey, do you know what a rundown is? Sure, I'll get that rundown right for you. Sorry.
Anyway, here's the rundown. The Corcoran is the collective name for the gods worshipped in Evelia. This is comprised of Styx, the god of shadows, Curin, the god of secrets, Nichani, goddess of masks, Malleus, god of dawn and new beginnings, and then Balmithin, two counted as one god, but they are twin sisters, goddesses of the sky. Bal is the goddess of the sun. Mithin is the goddess of the moon, aka Balia and Min, which are also the names of the two sons in Zilvaren. So there are a few parallels there with the gods between Zilvaren and Evelia. Bal and Mithin referred to Kingfisher as their father's champion. They are thirsty hoes. That's my next bullet point.
They really are.
They are. They've been begging. They've been begging Zareth for, what did they call
scraps,
it, a play toy or something?
And they want it to be Kingfisher.
Just crumbs. Yeah. Yes, something. And Val and Mithin also gifted Kingfisher's godsword to him during the battle at the Ajin Gate, which is also something I believe we learned from the bonus chapter. So once again, you're going to want to read those.
Read them.
Lastly, we have Zarath, god of chaos and change. Zarath has been watching the threads of the universe for a long time. And again, after trying to keep Saris and Kingfisher apart in order to avoid mass chaos and destruction of some kind, Zarath offered to turn Saris into something quote-unquote unknown so that the gods can no longer interfere in her life. Hence, our Long Island iced tea, queen of the vamps.
Forgot about that.
You're welcome.
Amazing. All right, let's jump into important lore, magic, and political foundations that is Quicksilver. So the first one is the Quicksilver itself. Quicksilver pools are pathways that connect the different realms. More than a metal or a magic tool, it's sentient, interactive, and it's alive. Only rare individuals like Saris can truly communicate or shape it. Other than those few, it will push any living creatures beyond the boundaries of sanity and can also be stilled with an Alchemirian sword.
Speaking of swords.
All right, next up are the God Swords. Got quite a bit of information for you here. I think the first mention of a god sword that we get, Rimfus is in an argument with Fisher about taking Saris from the Winter Palace and also taking the sword, quote unquote, referencing the sword that Fisher found Saris with that Bellicon confiscated. Fisher notes that Bellicon wouldn't be able to use it anyway because, quote, the god swords are all dead. They're paperweights now. We get that in chapter 15. Right before this, however, is something of note. While not explicitly named as a god sword, Ren mentions that the last time Bellicon laid his hands on a sword of note, he used it to murder the true king and the entire Dianthus line. Possible god sword? Oh, I don't know. Yes, this was new to me. Just a little nugget there. So we do have like basically three named god swords that we know of here. That one that I just mentioned could be another one, maybe. But we have Kingfisher's god sword, Nimerel. Saris asks Rin about his sword. She notices that it must still have some magic since she's seen the smoke and like the energy that it crackles with. When she asks Rin how that can be, Rin replies, "None of us are sure. All we know is that the god swords went silent and abandoned the rest of the Fae who carried them. Nimerel stayed at a cost. It used to shine bright silver. Centuries have passed and it has blackened and tarnished. The spirit of the sword, however, or the spirit inside it, has stayed." We get that in chapter 19. Location, we're assuming that Fisher still has this at the end of the book.
I think we also learn what that cost is in one of the bonus chapters.
Yes, we do.
Another plug for the bonus chapter.
The bonus chapters. Next up, we have Dania's sword that Saris shattered. That was technically also a god sword forged by ancient Alchemarian masters. We also learn in this conversation that god swords used to be religious icons to the Fae. But Dania's at the time represented her rank and marked her as an original member of the Lupoprolia. That's in chapter 24. We know that Saris reforged it with the Quicksilver and that it accepted Loreth as its new owner, basically, and he named it Avisiath. That's in chapter 29. So that's our god sword there. Last location, last mentioned in chapter 45, with Fisher recounting that Loreth had used it and basically it had scared Bellicon away, and that's why Bellicon ran. And our third one is Solas, Finrin's sword that was used to seal the pool in Zilvaren. Location, Saris had it last, but the last mention was in chapter 45 when she wakes up in Amontreath, and in her head she's wondering where the sword is, but there's no confirmation here if it's with her or that she has it around.
Interesting.
Yes. Also, we get a little note from Taelana in chapter 34 that the god swords were slowly cut off from the source of magic that they channeled as she was kind of like talking about the past and stuff. So that's some info on the god swords.
So interesting. Okay, well, this brings us into our realms and politics. Starting with Zilvaren, this is the harsh desert city ruled by the undying Queen Madra, where water control is essentially power. Zilvaren is known as the Great and Shining Banner of the North. It is a wheel-shaped city with each spoke being separated by a 50-meter wall that breaks the city into wards of various prosperity, but overall, mostly no prosperity. The two suns suns, Balia and Min, shine endlessly over the city, making perpetual daylight. There are very strict laws. Even lying to a guard means death. And the elite live in the hub. Everyone else gets their literal scraps and sewage runoff to live off of.
Then we have Velia. That is the Fey realm, icy lands, realms crossing, and Fey court intrigue. Currently, it is ruled by Bellicon, previously ruled by Rurik Dianthus, until Bellicon killed him and the entire Dianthus line. And we learned that in chapter 15. And he took the throne for himself. Rurik discovered the cure for the blood curse, and Malcolm was one of the few who chose to remain vampire, drawn to the dark magic and promise of power and immortality. Bellicon and Malcolm were never adversaries at all. They were allies and had been working together since before the blood curse. As far as we know, none of our characters knew that Madra was also in league with them until they were all together in chapter 40 of Quicksilver.
And then there's Amontreath / Sanisroth. Carrion's father's blood was used to create the blood curse that allowed Malcolm to become a vampire. Thus, a vampire can't drink from the living members of that bloodline that created them, nor can they enthrall them. And that's why Malcolm had Bellicon kill Carrion's parents. They were the only thing that posed a threat to him. In the Fey courts, the crown is passed down to a regent's heir. But if the regent is murdered, the crown is claimed by the one who slew them. The vampire court has only ever had one king. Malcolm never named an heir. He planned on living forever, and that worked out real great for him.
Next, we have the blood curse. So, the Fey ancestors were cursed millennia ago, though we don't know why or by whom, and all Fey turned into something like Malcolm. They ended up with pointed canines, used to drink humans dry, they drained humans by the millions before the blood curse was lifted, which was obviously a long time ago, but their canines remained. They no longer need the blood to maintain their immortality. The cure for the blood curse was lost over 1,000 years ago, and that only helped the Fey who had been cursed but not turned. The turned vampires need to die before they transition, and we learn that witch magic can't affect the dead.
But wait, if they still have canines, what does their bite do, John? What happens when a Fey bites someone now?
Complete euphoria.
Emojis.
Emojis yeah. Happen.
Emoji erotica happens. That is correct.
Yes, but speaking of the witches, we have a little bit of background on the Balkitter clan. And this is our last little info download for you today. So the Balkitter clan is one of the 5 families charged by Rurik Dianthus with finding a cure for the Fae blood curse, and they were instrumental in breaking it. According to Loreth, the last of the witches abandoned Evelia 100 years ago. No one's seen a member of the Balkitter clan in twice as long. We don't even know where they went. That was chapter 36, right before Ishabal showed up. The Balkitters are the only ones with powerful enough blood magic to break an enthrallment and to keep Malcolm's venom at bay while Taelina draws it out of Everlane's system. And then we also learn in chapter 36 that there are still some half-witches at Fulton's Gap, but we didn't actually go to Fulton's Gap on page. So that's also still sort of up in the air at the end of Quicksilver. And those are our, yep.
I was going to transition. You were going to transition.
Yep, you got it. Take it away. Okay.
And if we haven't talked about the bonus chapters enough to interest you in reading them, let's talk about them even more so that we can convince you to read them. There are 5 total bonus chapters for Quicksilver, and they are juicy. Trust us, you do not want to skip these. We say it's a requirement. If you haven't read them yet, we highly encourage you to check them out this week, along with our bonus episode from a few months ago where we discussed the first 4 chapters in great detail. Since then, we found out about a 5th chapter, and we will be talking about it in next week's episode.
So, here's the lowdown on each one and where to find it. The first 3 chapters are called The Gate, Part 1, The Gate, You Won't Believe It, Part 2, The Fox, The Boots, The Dress, that's all 1, Fox, Boots, Dress. These are all available for free on Callie Hart's website and in a 2-hour audiobook narrated by Anthony Palmini and Stella Bloom. The audiobook is only available on Audible, but typically under $5. It's called Quicksilver Bonus Scenes, Kingfisher's POV. We'll link the digital and audio versions in the show notes below.
Next up, we have The Maze. This chapter is available in the new Quicksilver Deluxe Limited Edition hardback or the Quicksilver ebook on Kindle Unlimited. If you downloaded the Quicksilver ebook prior to May 2025, you may need to remove and re-download the book to see this chapter. Definitely check this one out.
Yes, a very important chapter. And lastly, this is the one that we found out about after recording our Quicksilver bonus chapters episode a few months ago. It doesn't have an official title, but it starts with, I guess, sort of a subtitle that says Before. But this chapter is an Orlena Perry POV. That was Carrion's first caregiver in Zilvaren. So it is super interesting. This one was published in the Waterstones edition of Quicksilver from the UK. At this point in time, I have only seen this one shared on TikTok and Discord as a collection of photos someone took of the pages of the book. So since the publisher has not openly made this available for free, we cannot like host it on our website, but I will include the link to the TikTok video in the show notes below as well.
All right. Well, if you'd like even more Quicksilver content, be sure to check out all 9 of our previous Quicksilver episodes, including the bonus chapters episode where we discuss these first 4 chapters. And we have a special interview with the Quicksilver narrators, Estella Bloom and Anthony Palmini.
Yes, definitely check that out if you haven't yet. That was so much fun. And for a deeper chapter by chapter discussion of the book, featuring things like pronunciation guides, detailed recaps, the OSHA boys, first-time reader reactions and theories, an official crack counter, and more, you'll want to binge our book club episodes for this one.
Next week, we'll be going a bit deeper into this story, and quite possibly the next, as we theorize what is and what may be. We'll pull our own theories out of our butts, and also pull some popular theories from around the World Wide Web to discuss our views on, so be sure to join us as we ponder the future of Fae and alchemy. If you follow us on Patreon but haven't gotten on Discord, you're missing out! Be sure to hop onto our community server, where you can discuss this and many other books, authors, genres, bookish events, so much more. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok as well for exclusive content, behind-the-scenes updates, podcast news, and merch announcements.
On top of all that, be sure to visit BetweenPagesAndFriends.com for Patreon perks and to sign up for our newsletter for all news and things happening at Between Pages and Friends. Until then, stay wordy, stay nerdy, don't stress, and stay blessed.
Bye. Appreciate Minnie coming to work.
Oh my god. That was amazing.